Welcome to Kol Jeshurun, a podcast from Temple B'nai Jeshurun, a vibrant and flourishing Reformed Jewish community in Short Hills, New Jersey. Welcome, I am Rabbi Matthew Gewirtz. Kol Jeshurun is where you can come to engage with teachings of relevant wisdom and music. You will hear from our clergy, staff, and guest speakers who will help bring meaning into a world that so badly needs it. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at tbj.org.
Behold, our Vador, Hayav Adam Lirot et Atzmo Ke'ilu Yatsami Mitzrayim, Yatsami Mitzrayim, Yatsami Mitzrayim, Yatsami Mitzrayim. Behold, our Tatsmo ke ilu hu yatsami mitraim yatsami mitraim yatsami mitraim yatsami mitraim.
Shabbat shalom. In every generation, one is obligated to see themselves as if they personally came out of Egypt. The text we just sung appears in the Haggadah that we'll read this weekend. And it's a striking idea, very mystical and a little bit puzzling. Chayav Adam Lirot et Atzmo. The Hebrew is extremely clear. Et atzmo means very explicitly themself. We should see ourselves as having left Egypt. This is a directive to each of us, not only to commemorate this moment in our shared history, but to remember it actively as though it had actually happened to us. Jewish tradition is asking us not only to remember it, but to see ourselves as participants in the story, not simply descendants of those who lived it. Mitzrayim, Egypt, is more than just a place on the map. It becomes a metaphor for our struggles, individual and collective, in every generation, and indeed every day. The Sfat Emet, one Talmudic commentator, suggests that every person has within themselves a spark of exile and a spark of redemption, and that each day we should see ourselves as having the opportunity to come out of Egypt from the narrowness of bondage to the expansiveness of freedom. Imagine that, every single day. Interestingly enough, this is not the only example of a moment in the biblical text that the sages of old looked at this with this atemporal and mystical sensibility. Midrash Shemot Rabbah actually describes the story of Revelation at Sinai in the same way. We're taught all the souls were present at Sinai, those who were alive, those who had died, and those yet to be born. Even if our bodies were not physically present, the tradition suggests that our souls were there, standing among the people and trembling as they heard the divine voice. Every Jew, in every period of time, all together at that moment of revelation. Both the experience of redemption from bondage and revelation at Sinai are moments of change for the people. They are formative and transformative for Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel. So it is no accident that our sages are committed to impressing the importance of these events on us in this way. To imagine that we actually lived them ourselves renders the Exodus story not simply a tale that we learn and pass down l'dor v'dor from generation to generation, but the foundation of a spiritual practice, forcing us to confront that which may seem illogical, even impossible, and yet with hope and faith becomes Torah. The Baal Shem Tov taught that the Torah is not only a record of what had happened, but what is happening. The Exodus, according to the Baal Shem Tov, is happening right now. The revelation at Sinai is happening right now. In order for the Torah to be a living document, it must live inside each of us. We don't simply read Torah, we exist inside it. We do not retell a story, but we relive it. Our rituals and traditions, our sacred objects and shared experiences all serve to conjure up a visceral memory in real time. Our tradition knows something deep about our nature as human beings. We don't just learn through our minds, but through our bodies as well. And that's why the Seder is a multi-sensory ritual. It's not just a retelling of the Exodus story, but it's a reenactment. The Seder plate holds symbolic foods that allow us to taste, touch, see, and even smell the journey from slavery to freedom. Let's take a quick tour of the Seder plate for a moment. Maror, the bitter herbs. We eat it to literally taste the bitterness of slavery. This isn't a metaphor, it's experiential. It stings. It lingers on your lips and tongue. It makes you pause. Charoset, sweet and sticky, represents the mortar the Israelites used to build, reminding us that even in the midst of suffering, something sweet prevailed. Karpas, the greens, a symbol of spring and renewal. And yet we dip it in salt water to taste the tears, hope and grief all in one bite. Beitzah, the egg, a symbol of mourning and resilience. Even on a night of joy, we carry memory and loss with us. I could go on, but I'll leave some of the other symbols for you to explore at your seders this weekend. But the point is that this is how Judaism teaches, not just with words, but with tastes and textures. The Seder plate is saying to us, oh, you think you weren't there? Taste this, feel this, let your body remember it. It's an act of holy theater in a way, not performance, but participation. We sit at the table, we lean like free people, we eat as if we had just been released from Pharaoh's grip. This year, perhaps more than any other, this teaching rings true for me in a painfully literal way. In our wildest nightmares, I don't think any of us could have imagined that we would still be praying for hostages to come home so many hundreds of days later. That the idea that we might relive our collective redemption might come alive so clearly before our eyes. A few months ago, when the first hostage release in over a year took place, we all watched in a sort of split-screen experience, on the one hand celebrating every redemptive moment of release, only to be thrust back into bondage each week as we were forced to confront the painful reality that there were still more of our brothers and sisters in captivity, not yet free. Omer Wenkert, one of the former hostages, describes this experience in his own words. He says, "I'm not really here. Only half of me is standing here. Part of us, part of all of us, is still captive in Gaza." There is something so visceral about the connection our peoplehood fosters between us. On the day that Eli Sharabi, Ohad Ben-Ami, and Or Levi were released, we all saw their gaunt faces, and the Jewish community lit up in a cascade of collective pain and empathy all over the globe. We watched their release, and yes, we celebrated the fact that, thank God, they were able to find freedom once again, but their appearance, so painfully reminiscent of Jewish people in past generations, set off our generational trauma sensors in a way that I personally had not quite experienced before. We saw in them our past and present all wrapped into one, and the fear and pain it evoked was not as though we were observing someone else, rather as though we were experiencing that fear and trembling inside our own bodies. In this way, the Jewish experience is universal and atemporal, as the sages suggest. We're not bound by time or place, but by shared consciousness, a thread that runs through all of us and binds our souls together across space and time. I think this is really where the Jewish commitment to hope finds its grounding. In every generation, a person is obligated not only to recall or commemorate, but indeed to truly see ourselves as having been there. To remember things we have not literally experienced, making our capacity for empathy the building block of our identity as a people, and our imaginations the source of our collective memory. This spiritual exercise allows us to hold on to hope even in the face of struggle and hardship. We stand here today, which means that it is possible to survive the unimaginable, as our people have so many times before. So who are we to throw up our hands and surrender to the sinat chinam, the baseless hatred that has reared its ugly head towards us once again? These teachings are an invitation to our sacred imagination. We should live our lives as if I just walked out of slavery, with gratitude and perspective, as if I stood at Sinai with wonder and radical amazement, as if the world can change, with hope and cautious optimism. This isn't make-believe, it's not pretend. It's a form of waking up to what's already true on the level of our souls. Living as if is a Jewish spiritual discipline, just like empathy, just like prayer, and just like hope. So as we embark on our Seders tomorrow, we will tell the Passover story once again. And I invite you to consider this idea that you indeed left Egypt yourself. What is your Egypt? What makes you feel trapped? And what would make you feel free? May we all find meaning in the transformative nature of our rituals. May our empathy guide us and our hope empower us. And perhaps more than any other part of the story, may we bring about redemption for all people, not only in our imagination, but in reality. And may the pharaohs of our time hear the call to let our people go. Shabbat shalom. Chag Sameach.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Kol Jeshurun. If you would like to learn more, visit our website at tbj.org. and follow us on social media for updates on all our upcoming opportunities for engagement. We hope to see you soon.